I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning. Good hump day to one and all as we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocky Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike, Pete, across the way, bogus your updates. We got an hour left to play with. Coming up later on this hour, we'll chat with Rick Mahorn, NBA analyst, hear him on Sirius XM NBA Radio. Detroit Pistons legend, member of the Bad Boys. We'll chat with him coming your way in about 20 minutes. We'll talk a little preview of the NHL playoffs as we'll be joined by Dan Rosen. NHL.com will join up, Taz and myself, about 40 minutes from now. But we kick off this third and final hour. What you need to know here on this Wednesday, it's the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Magic Johnson steps down as Lakers president.
Yeah, he does. Let's hear from Magic himself on his resignation.
So today, I'm going to step down as president. And I think I don't want to... Her and I have such an amazing relationship. And I think that she gave me full power to do what I wanted to do. But I think that with her and I want to always preserve our relationship and love her. And then I think that I had more fun when I was able to be the big brother and ambassador to everybody. You know, I thought about Dwayne Wade retiring tomorrow, and I can't even tweet it out or can't be there.
Yeah, here is Magic expounding on that very aspect of enjoying life more when he wasn't president of the Lakers.
Been talking to people walking here. We've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not going to be here. Just, I was happier when I wasn't the president.
Yeah, I mean, so he steps down. We'll see how much more to this story is. You know, Woj reported after this what was strange 40-minute presser. Very, very entertaining. But strange 40-minute presser that Walton and his staff fully expected to be fired hours after the end of the regular season. Now with Magic stepping down, they're not so sure. We'll see exactly what happens with the coaching staff. Taz, we talked about this a lot in hour number one this morning because it was a huge story when this broke last night. Nobody was really expecting Magic Johnson to step down, you know, committed to the job, enjoying life more as non-president, kind of being ambassador of basketball, you know, former Laker great, all-time NBA great, you know, didn't want to be the decision maker moving forward, did help deliver LeBron James to Los Angeles and the Lakers. But now that franchise is in a complete and utter mess. We'll see what happens with Walton. We'll see what happens with Rob Pelinka. Was asked the question, you think he's the right guy for the job? He said, you got to ask Jeannie Buss. Wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement for Rob Pelinka either. So any way you cut it, the Lakers are a mess. And this is basically just another log on what is a raging inferno.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot must have went down in that meeting that Jeannie Buss had with Magic on Monday yesterday. It was a 3-hour meeting 2 days ago. Today's Wednesday. Hello. Anyway, I think that if Luke Walton stays the head coach there of the Lakers, I think then it was probably a little bit of a pushback from Jeannie, the owner, saying to Magic, because Magic has really not hid the fact that he wants to get a new head coach in there. So, Magic also said, you know, Jeannie loves me, and she also loves Luke. So, it almost sounds like, well, it's either me or him.
Yeah, good point.
So, you know, that's why I think we'll see what happens as we roll along here.
Yeah, it'd be a mistake. We were talking about before.
Right. No, I agree
if you kept Luke Walton aboard. I mean, that would be a mistake. And, And now maybe there's, even though it's probably remote, maybe there's a path where you see LeBron James trying to orchestrate his way out of Los Angeles with the Lakers as well, because the time is clicking on his championship window. And, you know, that's what he's thinking about. You know, he went to Los Angeles kind of as, the swan song last stop. But, Taz is a prideful guy. He still wants to win. This year, whether it be injury or lack of performance, it's been a downright disaster. You know, what's the vision here for Los Angeles? Where are you going? There were reports during the regular season that LeBron and his camp weren't exactly happy with Luke Walton. What's the message going to be if they decide to keep Luke Walton aboard with Magic Johnson being gone? Where's the vision of Rob Pelinka in terms of surrounding LeBron James with championship-caliber talent? Say you don't land Anthony Davis this offseason. Say you don't land a big free agent this offseason. What's the game plan here for the Lakers? And that's going to be concerning here if you're LeBron James as he gets set to film Space Jam 2. And as it was reported a couple days ago, the Greek Freak said, thanks, but no thanks. I'll pill pass.
That's right. He said, no thanks. I think a lot of people are just trying to, avoid LeBron. I really do. It's toxic with him. And real quick, just to circle back, because we're talking about Magic Johnson, and for weeks, so him and Luke Walton haven't talked,
yep.
Right? So weeks. So it's like, so you got to wonder what's going to happen now that Magic's out of the spot. Now, like you said, does LeBron get himself out of L.A.? Or, like we were talking about earlier, does LeBron somehow wiggle his way into having more juice and power there? I'm starting to think it's the other way. I'm starting to think he might want to get out of La La Land over there. You know, I feel like LeBron, I know it's going to sound crazy. I said this a while back here. Maybe because the Lakers are not in the postseason and we're so used to LeBron being in the postseason and LeBron's injured. Like, he's, like, almost, like, forgotten about. Like, I don't care anymore.
Nobody talks
about him. No one talks about him, right?
What's to say?
What's your opinion? Do you think it's because they're not in the postseason or because that's what it is?
Yeah. I mean, if the Lakers were going to the postseason and he was healthy, we'd be talking about him a lot. Kind of out of sight, out of mind, no?
Yeah,
what are you going to say now about LeBron James other than him filming the movie?
Well, a lot of shows find reasons to bring his name up.
Oh, no, you're not wrong about that. And they do that, they bend over backwards to do that. I mean, we don't do that here this show, Taz.
Not Taz,
but,
and Moose, never.
People do that, and that's, to me, that's a mistake. There's nothing to say. I mean, this is an intriguing storyline. Now this is something to talk about. Because Magic Johnson was one of the main reasons why LeBron went to Los Angeles and became a Laker.
Yeah.
And now Magic Johnson says no more. He's not enjoying it. Life's not good. He wants to enjoy life. He wants to be Magic Johnson. And maybe, just maybe, there's more to it where he didn't have the control to make the decisions he felt that needed to be made.
And he wasn't, Magic wasn't traveling with the team as much. He wasn't in his office much at all. So he was kind of distant anyway. He wasn't really, so he's getting paid. He's the president of the thing. And meanwhile, he's, like you said, he's at Michigan State games, as alma mater, rooting him on. Go Spartans!
You mentioned Luke Walton. Let's hear from the Lakers head coach.
Okay.
Are his days winding down? Well, here's how he found out about Magic stepping down.
I found out what you guys did. And it was, 80 minutes before a game. And it's my responsibility to the team, to our players, to be focused and prep on what our task is and what our job is.
Yeah, so he found out with the rest of us, as did Jeannie Buss, and maybe not LeBron James, but Rob Pelinka, I'm sure. Yeah, but Magic no longer running the Los Angeles Lakers as he stepped down yesterday. All right, next.
Number 2.
Mick Cronin leaves Cincinnati to take UCLA job.
Yeah, it gets rewarded. Nice bump. Almost doubles his salary. It goes from 2.2 to reportedly $4 million a year. Not the sexiest hire in the world. Not going to get you running to go buy UCLA Bruins season tickets. It's not going to tell you he can't coach. It's weird, Taz. I don't want to insult the guy.
Right.
I'm not telling you that he can't coach or that he's not a good coach. I just think of that about, and I still look at, and I know people could be looking at UCLA differently. I still look at UCLA as kind of being a name program, a name brand, even though they haven't had the success, as one of those story programs in college basketball history. And they are, with what they've done in the past, not so much of what they've done recently. I just think it's a strange hire that you go to Cincinnati, middle part of America, and it's Mick Cronin. It should be a more glamorous, sexy hire than that. Now, in essence, what does it matter? It's about wins, right?
Right.
If Mick Cronin wins, That's all you're going to care about. You got to win basketball games.
Got to win.
And he's shown himself to be a winner.
He is, and he's a hard-nosed guy, defensive-minded, as we talked about earlier. Tough coach, and, UCLA basketball, it's more blue-collar these days than it is blue-blood. You know, so I could see him going in there and being real tough and getting these kids to play harder. And because he's a hard ass. He really is.
Hard ass Joe.
So it should be interesting to see. And, you know, we talked a lot about during, obviously, with the national championship and everything and the success of Texas Tech. I'm bringing them up for a reason. It was Chris Beard, right? So when he came over a couple of years ago to Texas Tech, he came from Little Rock. Good program. But, you know, I understand Texas Tech is not, before Beard went there, was not a name program like UCLA. Not a big, you know, not that big power university and a top market in Los Angeles and all that jazz. But, you know, I mean, I wasn't covering mainstream sports 2 years ago. Well, it was before 2 years. It was early 2016. You were. I'm just curious. Was Beard a sexy name then?
Was he a sexy name?
I mean, not sexy. I mean, you know, when he came over to Texas, was it like, oh, my God, Chris Beard is going to, you know, bring these guys to the Natty Championship in a couple of years?
Well, I'll put it this way. If you were a big team, you didn't want to play Arkansas Little Rock.
Right, because they were respected. I know that. Yeah.
Well, right. He was a well-thought-of head coach. Also, the programs are a little bit different. I mean, you knew he was going to get a job.
Right.
And Texas Tech gave him an opportunity, and that was not really considered a basketball school, more of a football school.
Correct.
But was he the sexiest name? No, he wasn't the sexiest name.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm trying to compare him, Beard.
Yeah.
You see what I'm doing, to Cronin. You know?
I know what you're doing.
Different type programs, though, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying, different levels. You know what I'm saying, Taz?
UCLA.
And UCLA and Texas Tech. I'm not trying to insult the Red Raiders. It's just a different level type of program.
Right.
See, I look at, if you're at Arkansas Little Rock and you're Chris Beard, you're not going from there to go coach Kentucky.
Right, right.
You know, you're not going from there.
Texas Tech, another level up.
Then you go to Texas Tech.
That's
He's had success there. And then you go from Texas Tech to them, one of those bigger upper echelon programs, have to have success at Texas Tech. Now, Cronin's had success at Cincinnati. I just look at Taz, you know, you're a sexy hire, splash, grab name. It's been a hundred. I mean, they had over 3 months to think about their next head coach to replace Steve Alford. And the guy that you come out of it is Mick Cronin.
Yeah.
After Calipari says thanks but no thanks, after Rick Barnes then says thanks but no thanks, that's the guy you end up with. I just think it's a weird hire. I mean, he might have, and I hope he has success. I hope it's better for college basketball if UCLA is a good program. It's just a strange hire for when I saw it.
I don't disagree. I do think it's going to take him a couple of years to change the culture. I do think in a few years they're going to be in the thick of things. I think, look, he had a lot of success at Cincinnati. He was there for a long time. He was. And
helps him is that Pac-12 conference.
That's right.
Terrible.
I was just going to say that. So I do think that over a few years, once he gets his guys on that court, he's going to do well. I do.
Now, the issue, though, Taz, is success in Cincinnati is failure in UCLA.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you go to the tournament in Cincinnati and win a round. You know, that's a good year, right? You go to the Sweet 16, that's a good year. In UCLA, even though they have not had the same success on the court, if you're not going to Final Fours, regional finals, in 2-3 years, they're going to run your rear end out of town.
Yeah. Well, you're probably right.
I mean, you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We've seen that. We saw that with Alford. We've seen that with Ben Howland in the past. I mean, Ben Howland went, to 2-3 Final Fours?
Yeah.
They ran him out of town. He's now in Mississippi State.
Right. Well, the days of Wooden there, you know.
those days are gone.
Those days of Gonski in the 70s and late 60s, early 70s and all that jazz. And, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, and he built a dynasty there, you know, definitely Wooden. But, you know, we'll see. I mean,
and good job by Cronin thanking Cincinnati, and good job by Cincinnati on social media and also putting it out for public consumption, thanking Mick Cronin. They get it. They understand.
They get it. Yeah.
It's too good of an opportunity for him.
Too good. And he's going to have every resource he needs there.
Oh, no doubt.
That's the good thing for him.
Yeah. And now he gets to live in Los Angeles. That's a nice upgrade. Cincinnati to Los Angeles.
Well, to all of people listening to Cincinnati, it's beautiful in Cincinnati.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm talking about quality.
You just implied it. That's not enough.
If you're asking me, would I rather live in Cincinnati or in Los Angeles by the water? I'd rather live in L.A.
Yeah, Malibu Jones.
No.
Yes, Santa
agree.
Monica City.
You
bro.
Agree.
I
don't
do.
Be PC this one.
Well, you know I'm always PC.
All right, next.
Number three.
Aaron Rodgers says he played with broken bones in 2018. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that. So a little more to the story with Aaron Rodgers. So no one doubted his pain threshold. Everyone knew that he was hurt after that Bears game opening week, Taz. You know, that.
Right.
Remember we talked about that with Rodgers and the knee, and now we know the significance. No one's telling you he's not committed to it. You know, the Rodgers saga does continue. I never doubted Aaron Rodgers' toughness on the field. And now you have a little bit more of a little bit more color to the story that he admits that he was playing with broken bones last year.
Yeah, you know, it's. I don't think anyone's ever going to doubt the toughness of Aaron Rodgers. He's a tough dude. I mean, most NFL players are physically tough. And what I count as toughness is what your body can take. It's not what you can give out. Tough guy to me is not a guy who can beat a guy up. Tough guy to me is somebody that can take a beating and keep on ticking. So, you know, if your body's beat up and you got a broken bone here or two, and you can keep going out there and playing amongst the elite athletes in the NFL, you know, when you got a tibia fracture, that's nasty. And I believe it's front of your that's like your shin bone, if I remember correctly, tibia. I think it's your shin bone. I'm pretty sure. So to have that kind of a fracture, now he probably had a hairline fracture, hence why he was able to play.
Right.
But still, the pain he must have been in, dude. I mean, like to play. I remember saying during the year, I would be shocked at the end of the year. I thought it was like a like maybe a meniscus or some kind of a scope, like a tear they need an arthroscopic surgery on. You know.
Yep.
But no, it was a slight fracture in a bone. So. Yeah, tough. That's pain, man. That's toughness right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then he suffered a concussion week 17, caused him to lose vision. So
his helmet get knocked off on that play, if I remember. It was early in the game against Detroit.
Yeah.
That was against Detroit. A linebacker, the blitz or something off the air. I can't remember. I remember his helmet came flying off, and he played the rest of the series, came out, and then I think he came back in. I mean, what the hell? How does that happen in this day and age in the NFL with concussion protocol and all that? Aaron Rodgers gets his bell rung when his helmet goes freaking flying by a blitzing linebacker.
No, so he dealt with that, and he also dealt with the fracture. It's called a tibia plateau fracture that he dealt with all season long. Rodgers, after that Bleacher Report story, is looking for everything to change the topic of the conversation.
Right. You know, I had a strain. I had a torn
lateral. A couple calluses and a couple of corns on my big toe.
By my buttocks, right. I had a tear in there. And I also had a sprained wrist.
He's going to tell you everything that happened last year.
I had a toothache week 6, Moose, right. You know, when I was on the center.
Okay.
People are like, well, what about Jennings? What he said about today? You're a douche. No. I had a headache week 9.
Right.
I played anyway.
Anything that could change the conversation, Rogers is going to tell you. In States. That's basically it.
Go shoot your Allstate commercials.
Which is a great brand. Awesome. Rick Mahorn is going to join us. Legendary big man, NBA veteran, SiriusXM NBA radio host, legendary Piston member of the Bad Boys. We'll chat with Rick. Run around the NBA, talk a little bit about Magic stepping down, the careers of Wade and Nowitzki playing their final home games last night for Miami and Dallas, respectively, both dropping in 30 points. A lot to get into with Mahorn. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. We'll get to Rick Mahorn here momentarily. Here's Andrew.
Moose, this report is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Final regular season home game for Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki last night. They both went out in style.
Wade for three. Got another one off the glass. Oh, my. I'll tell you, that's the secret. Use the window.
Dwayne Wade, four trades.
Mike Inglis, Heat Radio. Wade scored 30 in a 122-99 Heat victory over the Sixers. Dirk scored 30 as well against the Suns in Dallas. Then he confirmed what we've suspected all season. He is done after 21 campaigns. Stealing their thunder is Magic Johnson. Surprise resignation as Lakers president after just 26 months on the job. No one knew anything, apparently, until Magic addressed reporters about 90 minutes before game time at Staples. The Lakers went out and almost beat the Blazers.
Here's Dame. He gives it up to CJ. CJ has it pushed off. Now gives it up to Harkless, who launches a three, and that's it! And at the buzzer, the Blazers win it! Maurice Harkless with the quarter three at the buzzer, and the Blazers win it, and they clinch home court in the first round.
Travis Demers, Blazers Radio, 104-101 the final, thanks to that Mo Harkless three. Portland will be either the three or the four seed after tonight's regular season finales. They're a half game behind the Rockets, who lost in the final seconds in OKC, 112-111. Paul George hit the winning three with 1.8 seconds to go. His team up to sixth in the West. The East still deciding its final playoff spot. The Pistons keeping control with a 193 win after they trailed the Grizzlies by 22 in the first half. That win knocks Wade's Heat from contention, but the Hornets stayed a game behind Detroit, 124-97 in Cleveland. The Hornets need to beat the Magic tonight and have those Pistons fall at the Knicks to make the playoffs. The Warriors, meanwhile, apparently not worried about the mid-foot or the mild foot sprain Steph Curry suffered last night in New Orleans. He didn't finish the 112-103 win. The Colorado Rockies won their first two games this season. They've dropped 9 of 10 since. They're 0-5 at home after last night's 7-1 loss to the Braves. Shortstop Trevor Story says the vets need to lead the way.
I feel like we're being tested right now. The more veteran players, we got to step up and, you know, bring those guys with us, and because these guys have a lot of talent. You know, we just want them to play, just do their thing out there, not worry about anything else.
You got lucky, right? You know, I it didn't go past me. I'm just letting you know that, Andrew. It didn't go past me.
What
did your intro music? It didn't happen.
Yeah, that's not my fault.
No, you love that though.
No,
that's
I was
the first
confused
time
it.
That it didn't happen, and I saw your eyebrows go up like
I was confused.
Yeah.
From the top, this report is sponsored by Geico.
No.
Please, you're overstaying your welcome, sir.
All right, back to you guys.
No. Right. Listen, I just want to let you know that we're on to you. No, nice try. Okay? Good seeing you. See you tomorrow, pal.
See you tomorrow.
That went well.
Yeah.
See you later, buddy.
No.
What is he upset about? What are you mad about now? The hell's your problem?
I don't have a response to fabricated accusations.
No, it's just you seem upset. Why does it always have to be tension when you do your updates here?
Oh, you yelled at me. There wasn't tension. Then you
I didn't
yelled at
yell.
Me.
Yell. I just said
scolded. Interrupted me to say I did something that I didn't
saying,
do.
I don't listen. I have no control.
False accusations.
That whole thing. That update. It's not even my idea. So not that intro music.
I've been against them from the beginning. but I don't play the music. So I mean, and I didn't know it wasn't coming.
I'm just saying, it didn't get past me. That's all.
Okay, look to your right and say it to the dude with the huge
headphones.
We didn't
run it because we had a guest that's not answering his call. That's not answering the phone right now. Okay. So that's why we didn't play it. So he could get through his update as quickly as possible.
You know, and by the way, and Moose, you know this, what's his name is here?
Ben.
Right.
Toby.
Tobias Heller. Heller, right. Heller, when Heller's here, he has no intro music.
So because he is white and nerdy.
Yeah. No, you're more than him.
No, that's...
Moose, what do you think? You want to weigh in this?
Yeah, well, Heller's barely on the show.
That's not the question. Who's more white and nerdy, Heller?
I mean, and neck down the stretch, final eighth of a month.
Frankie Heller.
I mean, you know.
I'd actually prefer Moose to call me stupid again than tell me that.
I didn't call you stupid.
Well, say I was smarter than that.
I said you're smarter than that.
Right. I'd prefer that, I think, to me and Brad being equally nerdy. Right.
Bob Feller.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. You'd rather Moose imply that you're stupid, saying you're better than that?
I said you're smarter than that.
He's smarter than that.
I feel like...
He's a smart guy.
Definitely cooler than Brad. I'm not cooler than many people, but Brad, I feel like, is one of them.
All right, this needs a poll. I mean, this needs to have a social media team have not done a poll in a long time.
I think it's a full-fledged contest.
Yes.
Oh, really?
You two guys arm wrestling?
Well, that doesn't decide coolness.
Zook could come and beat you both.
I mean, of course. He could kill me with Brad.
Zook Zahn.
Which I complimented, and Taz, amazingly enough, got jealous of.
I didn't get jealous.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
I didn't get jealous.
That's
not true.
I'm the muscle man.
I didn't get jealous. I said the guy's in good shape. He's got a lot of muscle.
He's ripped. You're like,
you're making the guy like he's Lee Haney.
He got a little jealous.
He's not exactly Lee Haney.
You were hypersensitive to it. I said he's, I don't need to Google. I know who Lee Haney is.
Who is he?
He's a muscle guy.
Oh, that's vague.
Well, what's it? Yes.
What's his biggest title?
I could care less.
The Miss Olympia.
Very nice. Well done. I don't.
Congrats to him.
Congrats to him.
Congrats to Lee Haney.
Listen,
Zook has got a lot of muscle. Zook's got a lot of muscle.
Yeah, but how many dojos does he have?
But you got,
nothing.
Right.
He has no dojos.
Yeah.
And he can't roll. I mean, so.
Don't bring up dojos unless you're sleeping in Taz's bed.
Well, that's another story. That's true. Just keep yourself in proper line. So with that dojo conversation. So that's all. No, it's just no.
Show
I mean
the
is,
proper dojo respect.
No, because you said that yesterday, like, you don't have a dojo. Well, how do you know what I have?
Taz, it was
wasn't a joke.
It was a joke.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No. Nope. No, I don't think it was a joke. I think you meant it. Because you think I tell you everything that I own and have.
No, I'm not going down this path again. It did not end well yesterday.
No,
you're very sensitive to the matter.
I'm not.
Oh, it did. It was.
You are going to be a new trained to be a pro wrestler.
No, I'm not training to be a pro wrestler. We had a fun segment.
What if
you're hypersensitive? God bless your dojo. Hopefully, you wrestle in it every day.
I don't actually.
I mean, enjoy it. Whoever's working on
it, it's a long story. I don't.
I'm happy for you. That's great that you have a dojo. I believe that you have a dojo. Great dojo, Taz dojo.
Stop.
Dojo.
Stop.
Stupid.
What's stupid?
Just so like, I mean, can't believe we're back here.
You sit there, you make your jokes about me and what I own.
I did not
And I'm
make
supposed
any...
to sit here and not defend myself. And then you laugh
in
my face.
There's no joke.
And you got Heller over there laughing at me.
Frankie it's a throwaway comment.
Not Heller, Andrew.
It's a throwaway comment. I can't. You got jealous of the fact of Zook's arms, and I tweet about Kurt Hawkins.
Jealous of Zook's arms?
Yes.
I'm washed up, and I got bigger, more muscle arms than him.
That's great. I am trying to compliment somebody on his physique, and I have to look over to my right, and my broadcast partner is seething because he's jealous.
No, because you made it like the guy was like the ultimate warrior.
I'm not comparing to a guy that won Mr. Olympia, Taz.
No, but
I am not comparing him to that guy.
Ripped,
I'm looking at him
as
a guy that. No, I did. I'm looking at him as a comparative.
Compared to the slugs in a newsroom?
Correct, Taz.
Oh. Oh, that's a different
story. Reality.
I
that's
understand.
Reality.
All right,
I'm not comparing him to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Pumped. But you seem to think when I complimented Zook, you're like, he's no Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
I don't think
he's oiling up and heading out to Venice Beach.
Let me
this
do that update.
Actually,
right. Hey, the baby
he could be.
Right. I mean, and then I compliment Kurt Hawkins. Oh, you're tweeting about wrestling.
Kurt's my friend. You know that. Did you mention my name to him?
No, I didn't.
Why wouldn't you?
Whoa.
See, now there you go. Thank you, Andrew. You know what, Andrew? Take this.
Okay.
What's take that? This.
What?
How I'll take it. How do you? Let me.
Taz, I was joking. I met you.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
See, what I was supposed to say before, Taz, I feel like you and I miss a lot of Moose's jokes. Maybe there needs to be like a light or like something that goes off.
Mm.
So we know he's kidding. We don't get angry.
Oh, okay.
Well, you guys get, you don't. I mean, maybe yesterday was just.
Maybe you have an odd sense of humor.
Bogus? No, I'm sarcastic, dry, bogus. You look well and fit this morning. Good job.
Easy.
I was asking you a question.
I said,
I have a question. You mentioned me to Hawkins.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said I said Taz says hello.
And what did he say? Put me over.
He said I tell him I said hello.
You know how wrestlers are. You heard what JR said. The wrestlers have to constantly be put over. That's all he said? Tell him I said hello?
Did he ask about Darwin?
Yeah, he said, I know Taz. Yeah, that's it. We're
That's all he said? Yeah, tell Taz I said hello? Hawkins, you bum? That's what you say about me?
Yeah.
You have no more than that? Was Zach Ryder there?
This is what he was not. It was just Kurt. He was a very good guy.
He is a good guy, but I thought he'd give me more than that.
No, I work with you every day.
Yeah.
He knows what I go through.
Yeah.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com, joins us. We'll talk a little Stanley Cup playoffs. He said hello.
All right.
He's
all
a nice guy.
He's a good guy. I love
him. I'm sorry you were jealous of the segment we did.
Oh, I wasn't jealous. Oh.
I wish I was there to really.
It's Daz and Moose. CBS Sports Radio.
Get rolling.
Hey, it's Brandon Tierney. Be sure to listen to CBS Sports Radio on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite CBS Sports Radio today.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, keeping a car clean, simple and expensive form of maintenance. And O'Reilly Auto Parts is the cleaning and detailing products you need, including washes, waxes, polishes, leather and vinyl care. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for Clean Car Month. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. Tampa Bay Lightning, huge favorites, or they are favorite. To win the Stanley Cup this year, and that is where our next guest is, down in the Sunshine State. Dan Rosen does a great job covering the National Hockey League for NHL.com, joins us now. Hey, Dan, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning, bud.
Dan, what's up?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Do well, Dan. Before we run through these series and the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, Taz and I love them when they roll around each and every year. Draft lottery last night, Devils win it, Rangers pick in second. As a Ranger fan, fired up about that. How good is Hughes and Kako? How good are these two prospects? Because it seems to be those two and then everybody else, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, I can't tell you that I have intimate knowledge of these guys, but I know, you know, a lot, you know, from what I've heard from around the league and from other people, that they are without question the top two picks. And then it's a drop off after that. Then it becomes more of a, you know, it's a little uncertain after that, but these two are no question the top two. Hughes is a playmaker. He's like 17 years old, big time playmaker. His brother is a defenseman now for the Vancouver Canucks. He came up, signed out of the University of Michigan this year. He was a high pick too for the Canucks. And Jack Hughes has got this incredible skating and incredible playmaking ability from everything I've heard. And Kaapo Kakko's a Finnish product, and he's got the shot. He's a shooter, and he's big and physical, and doesn't mind messing around, you know, getting involved, shall we say.
Mixing it up a little bit, right? Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, mix it up a little bit. He's also a terrific playmaker, too. So they are, I think, without question, the top two, and then it drops off from there. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes because, you know, Mark, for you, a Ranger fan, you know, they need a shooter.
They do.
They need a guy who's going to shoot the puck, put the puck in the net. And Kako could be the guy who comes to them because the Devils might want Hughes, and that would be fine, I think, for the Rangers if that were to happen. And it would probably be the guy that they would covet more, in my estimation, but we'll see.
You listen to Taz and the Moose right now. We got our special guest is Dan Rosen, senior writer for NHL.com. All right, so I'm on the other side of the fence as the Moose. I'm an Islander fan, Dan. So I want to ask you a two-part question. Barry Trotz doing a great job, obviously, with the Isles. Talk on that, if you don't mind, for a second. Also, can the Isles take care of the Pens?
I think they can. Honestly, I really do. I think the way the Islanders play defense and their goaltending, they make it so hard on teams. To score, they make it. They're the best defensive team in the league this season. They drop their goals against from one year to the next by over 100. I mean, it's an insane number. I think they're one of six teams in NHL history that's ever done that, to allow 100 fewer goals in the following, you know, from one season to the next. And that's a lot on Barry Trotz. Wow. That's what he brought to this team: a defensive structure, a defensive mindset. Understanding if you keep the puck out of the net, you'll have a chance. And their net was wide open last year, and this year it was pretty well slammed shut. And they make it hard on you. They're going to make it hard on the Penguins because they don't allow a lot in the middle of the ice. They don't allow you to enter the zone cleanly. They will tie up sticks and bodies in front of the net. They'll win puck battles in the corners. They'll do all of these little grinding things that teams, you know, that play good defense have to do to win. The only fear is that if they allow the Penguins on the power play, that could be the difference in the series because the Penguins can light you up on the power play. And the Islanders are not going to necessarily be able to outscore them. And, you know, if it gets into a high-scoring game, they're not going to be able to win that game. But if it's low-scoring, as most Islander games have been this season, then the Islanders have a really good shot, I think, in that series.
All right.
Petras has been amazing.
Yeah, he's been great. All right, you're down in Tampa. How about the Lightning? Expected to win a cup this year as they take on Columbus here in the opening round. You're down there, Danny. How do you think this series plays out?
Yeah, I think it plays out exactly as we expect it to play out. I could see the light. I think the Lightning in five. I'm going to give Columbus a game, but not much more than that. I mean, take the regular season for what it is, but Tampa played Columbus three times, and they outscored them 17-3 in those games. All right, so different Blue Jackets team, obviously, now. They've got, you know, Duchesne. They've got Ryan Zingle. But this Lightning team is just loaded. I don't know what you can do to stop this team. I guess the only thing you can do to stop them is to force them to have to defend, dominate puck possession. But even then, it doesn't really matter because they'll skate it out of the zone and bang, they'll score. Just when you think you're dominating a puck possession game against the Lightning, you're going to be down 3-0 because they're going to score on their three chances. That's just the way they are. They have the best power play in the league. They had the best power play in the league, tied with Columbus for the best penalty kill in the league, scored the most goal. I mean, it was just what a season they had, and they have weapons all over the place. So I just don't see how Columbus can match up, especially if this becomes – if Columbus has to chase games early, if the Lightning get a lead early, it's going to be a real problematic for Columbus because then they're going to have to open it up a little bit to try to score, to try to catch up. And if they open it up against the Lightning, they're just going to get lit up.
All right, Dan. So what if we shift over? We've got St. Louis and Winnipeg, and you know O'Reilly for St. Louis has been tremendous. Break this down for us.
I like the Blues. I actually picked the Lightning and the Blues to play in the Stanley Cup Final with the Lightning winning it. I really like the Blues. Say what you want about the way teams are trending in the regular season. I know a lot of people say, you know, the regular season doesn't mean a whole lot, this, that, and the other. You know what? The Blues have been terrific since January 2nd, 30-10-5, the best record in the league since then. And in the same time frame, the Jets were 22-18-3, and they were 3-5-1 down the stretch in their last nine games. And the Blues, I think, of the Western Conference teams, I think the Blues are the most balanced. They have a first line that can beat you, and they have a fourth line that can beat you, and they have a lot of meat in the middle, too. They're big on D. They're a heavy team. So are the Jets. But if the Jets could pick their opponent, if the Jets could pick the one team that they wouldn't want to face in the first round, I think it would be St. Louis because the way St. Louis matches up with them. And it's all on the rookie goalie in St. Louis. I mean, if he brings it the way he's brought in the regular season, I think they keep going.
All right, how about Dallas and Nashville?
A little more of a toss-up for me. I picked the Stars. It is an upset, but I picked them for the same reasons that I picked the Islanders against the Penguins. Even though the Islanders are the home team, I still think that would be viewed as an upset because of Pittsburgh and what they have in their history. Defense. You know, Dallas was the second-best defending team in the league this season behind the Islanders. They also have the ability to light it up offensively with Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn and Radulov. And now the X factor for them, Matt Zuccarello, who's healthy. And Moose, you know him. I mean, you watch him for the Rangers. He's a playmaker. He's a guy who's going to make – he's going to pass the puck and make plays at times where you just wish he would shoot the puck. He doesn't shoot it enough, but he is a terrific playmaker. And Jamie Benn, who – is just, he's a wonderful all-around player, but he struggled down the stretch this season. He hasn't scored a lot, and he is a goal scorer. I think part of that is they got Matt Zuccarello, I think, to play with Jamie Benn, but Zuccarello broke his arm in the first game that he played, and he really hasn't played a full game yet with Dallas, but he's back, and he should be good to go, and if he's playing with Benn, I think he helps Benn, and I think they're going to have enough with their defense, and they'll have enough scoring, I think, to beat Nashville and upset them.
All right, you're listening to Taz and the Moose. Our special guest right now is Dan Rosen, senior writer for NHL.com. All right, so then we got Nightcap City. We got Golden Knights, the team everybody was just going crazy about last year. Las Vegas Golden Knights going against San Jose the Sharks. Break it down, man.
I like Vegas. I do, and I know they didn't trend well at the end of the regular season, but I like Vegas. I think, you know, for for actually many similar reasons why I like St. Louis, because their balance throughout their lineup, their size, their depth, their ability to lean on an opponent, and their goaltending. And I think that's, for me, part of what it comes down to in this series, who you trust in net. And I trust Marc-Andre Fleury more than I trust Marty Jones for the Sharks. And that's why I think Vegas is going to win the series. And, right. You know, it is a little bit more of a, you know, it's a little bit of a toss-up because both of these teams are good and they have a lot of, you know, excellent characteristics. But I just, you know what, sometimes it just comes down to who you trust in net, like I said. And it's goaltending is so important, especially in the playoffs. You can't allow that one bad goal. And Marty Jones has been allowing that one bad goal a lot this season. So I got to go with Fleury and the Knights.
All right, Danny, three series get going tomorrow night. Let's head back to the Eastern Conference. Boston owns Toronto or did in the regular season. Anything going to change here when these two meet up in the playoffs with that series get going tomorrow night up in Beantown?
It could, but I don't see it happening. I really don't. I mean, the Leafs have Austin Matthews on one line and John Tavares on the other, and that's great. But then Boston can counter by throwing Patrice Bergeron and his line out against Matthews and Zdeno Chara and his defense partner against, you know, Tavares. And that's a good way to shut down two of the best centers in the league right there. You put, you know, two of the top defenders in the league against them. And Bergeron's line with Marchand and David Pastrnak is so good. They'll not just shut you down, they will outscore you, and that's the problem when you face Boston, is because their best offensive line is also their best defensive line. And I just don't think the Leafs are deep enough on the back end, and that hurts them, and Boston's just got this ability to just own Toronto, and I think they continue to do it. They've won five series in a row against Toronto. That dates back to 1969, I believe, but you know, the last two are the ones that everybody remembers, especially last year, and I don't see it changing.
All right, Dan, Hurricane Caps, what do you got?
Yeah, Hurricanes have been a great story this season. You know, the storm surge going on down there, what they do after wins, you know, at PNC Arena.
Which I think has been great. I mean, Taz and I have talked about Danny. We've enjoyed it. I don't care about the criticism. It's been fun.
Man, it's awesome. I love it. I think it's entertainment, right, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, you have paying customers there who want to see your team do well, who want to cheer, who want to root, who want to, and then you're continuing on with the entertainment. You're not just skating right off the ice after a win. Yeah, I think it's great, and it works in that market. I mean, they need things like that in that market, and I think it's fabulous. And the players have all bought into it; they have a blast with it. That being said, I don't see them getting past Washington. I think the Caps are too deep, talented, experienced. You name it, they got it. And Carolina hasn't made the playoffs since 2009. And I think they got 11 or 12 guys who've never played a playoff game in their careers, and that's going to show.
You know, high expectations for Calgary heading into the postseason. Can Colorado give them a scare?
They can. They can give them a scare, but I don't think they can beat them. The thing with Calgary, much like the same with San Jose, is their goaltending. You know, if that holds up, Calgary can go on a long run here. But it is a question mark, and it's held up in pieces throughout the season, and it's a big reason why, you know, the Flames were able to do it. But you know the other thing the Flames do so well, and I don't know that you can necessarily rely on it in the playoffs, is they dominate the third period. They were like plus 54 in goal differential in the third period this year. It's insane how they dominated the third period. But you know, part of that is also, like, you know, they've chased in some games and had to come back and had to dominate it, and they did. It's not a formula for success in the playoffs. That said, I think they have that speed game. They're strong on the back end. I think they can do enough to beat a Colorado team that is top-heavy, but I do worry a little bit about the Flames because of their goaltending.
And you have Blues Lightning in the final. Who do you have in the conference finals? You have the Blues taking on who?
I got the Blues playing Vegas, and I got Tampa against Washington.
Tampa against Washington. And Dan, we know I work with a Met fan, work with Met fans all over the place. So anytime you're down in Tampa, but I'm sorry for the DeGrom performance last night.
Oh, I mean, they got lit up?
The run had to end at some point in time, Dan.
It did. It had to end. I mean, you can't really. All right. It's one bad start. You've got to get another 27 in a row, right?
Yeah, that's it. Hey, Danny, we appreciate the time this morning. All right. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Take care, man.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com senior writer.
That's funny.
Thanks to him, to Pete and Mike and Bogus with the updates. Taz, everybody. Good job, brother.
Same to you, sir.
All right, you got it. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Till tomorrow, everybody. Good Wednesday, one and all.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.